This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we look back at 5 years of fact-checking by PolitiFact Wisconsin and what trends they see in the 1,000 claims that they've rated, anywhere between the ratings true to pants on fire.
First, with an aging population and a heavy reliance on a manufacturing industry that's been in decline for decades, Wisconsin faces real challenges when it comes to invigorating its economy.
A Pew report out this year showed that between the year 2000 and 2013, Wisconsin had the fastest shrinking middle class in the country. Adjusting for inflation, the median household income fell by almost $9,000. At the same time, salaries are sagging, young workers are leaving the state, and manufacturers are having trouble finding new talent as the workforce gets older.
These kind of challenges are the subject of today's Future Wisconsin Economic Summit held by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Here with us now to talk about the summit, what came out of it today, is Jim Morgan. He's president of the WMC Foundation. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
In the preview for this event and in a talk by Todd Berry with the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, the idea came up, okay, what if we stay on our current track, trends continue, we don't change anything? Where do we go if we're in the no-change situation, Jim?
I think after Todd's presentation today, we decided that that's not an option. You know, quite frankly, if we do double our over 65 population and don't have a net in migration of people to fill the jobs that we're going to have open in the state, it's going to have an impact across the board on health care, on property ownership, on sales taxes, and everything else. And I think Todd opened up an awful lot of people's eyes that it's going to be more important than ever that we figure out not only how to keep more of the people that we've got in Wisconsin who may be leaving for the wrong reasons, and how do we attract people from outside the state? Because we're going to have all kinds of job opportunity, but there's a perception out there that there aren't any jobs in Wisconsin right now.
Well, I want to get into solutions in a minute, but first I want to hammer this problem home a little more. So you've got this almost triple whammy, right? Aging population, a lot of people retiring, younger people not there, some moving away, so nobody to take over those jobs. And then we're going to need more workers to take care of that aging population that's left the job market and maybe need some kind of assistance. So three problems there. How bad is this going to be if we stay on the current course?
Well, it's going to be serious. We're looking at over the next 20 years of taking our over 65 population from 750,000 to 1.5 million. And that's a group of people that's going to need services. At the same time, we're estimating that there will be close to 300,000 job openings and really growth of only about 15,000 people in that 18 to 64 age working group. And I think, as you said, you know, this is a triple whammy. This is sort of the perfect storm that here in the upper Midwest, we're not growing our own population. And so unless we can find some way to bring more people in, make the state more attractive to people, it's going to cost us across the board and an awful lot of things, and it's going to be a spiraling effect.
When it comes to jobs and partisan politics in the state, Jim, it seems like a lot of the conversation is waving around this month or this quarter's job numbers and trying to assign blame or take credit. Do you think we're having a serious enough conversation outside of your event today about these more fundamental structural issues?
Well, I think part of the reason that this is a 20-year strategy is we learned from a couple of our peers in other states. Probably the best example I got was from someone in Florida who said, you know, if you try to have a conversation about energy and look 2 years out, you're going to have, you know, people of global warming in one corner and not global warming in the other and carbon fuels in the other and renewables in another corner, and they're all going to just sit and scream at each other. But if you look 20 years out and say, look, we're going to need 35% more energy, how do we get it? Now you start to have a conversation. And I think part of the reason that we're trying to look this time out is to say, look, there are short-term solutions and we certainly need to begin to work on those. But if we don't all get together on this one and figure it out, it's not going to be, you know, your end of the boat that's sinking and mine's okay. Both ends are going down. And so I think there is more of a constructive conversation going on now that says this is going to impact everybody. These are taxpayers, which means there's not as much money for roads and schools. These are people that are working and trying to create jobs. and everybody either benefits or loses together. And we want to make sure we go down the road to success here. So that's why we've been trying to get all these different groups together.
Talking about today's Future Wisconsin Economic Summit, convened by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. We've got Jim Morgan with us. So, Jim, trying to plot out this roadmap for the future, I'm assuming all the problems weren't solved completely today. But what kind of approaches are people talking about to attracting young talent, keeping and training young talent in Wisconsin to fill all those jobs?
There's a couple of things that we're starting to uncover here. One is, even with our own kids here in Wisconsin, they don't seem to understand the diversity of the jobs that exist. So I think job one for us is, whether it's through these academic and career plans in the schools or through parents or counselors, we've got to do a better job of explaining to people what the opportunities are, you know, here and right now. We also did some perception surveys just through social media, and, you know, are finding out that our outdoor recreation, our natural resources, are something that people appreciate whether you live in Wisconsin or outside of it. We also know that's something that millennials are attracted to. They like to bike, they like to run, they like to hike. You know, so there may be an opportunity there that we can start selling ourselves a little bit more, because we're traditionally a pretty low-key group in the upper Midwest. We just, you know, sort of say, oh, shucks, everything is great and you should all know about it, but we don't sell ourselves. So we've got to begin to sell ourselves both within the borders of Wisconsin and to people outside.
How do you create that brand? I mean, a lot of things sometimes are beyond your control. It's whatever news story is out there, however a sitcom chooses to represent that yokel character from Wisconsin. How do we control that agenda of what the Wisconsin brand is?
Well, I think we have to begin to speak with one voice, and we actually at the summit today showed a variety of movie clips and interviewed a bunch of students at the university, and you'd be amazed at how some of those stereotypes stick with us. So part of the presentation today was the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation beginning to lay out some different possibilities for how we may brand the state, so we don't have 15 or 20 separate voices out there, but we do come up with one way of speaking about Wisconsin like some other states are doing, because otherwise we're sending mixed messages. And often the way that we're branded is either by a sitcom that's 20 years out of date, or a football game where it's 40 below zero and there's some guy who, you know, is sitting there on TV with his shirt off. We've got to begin to, as all the state agencies, as the business community, as the schools, begin to sell the quality of education here, the quality of the parks here, the quality of family and sense of community and work ethic. Because if we can get people here, we have pretty good success in keeping them.
What kind of things do we know about the sort of amenities that the younger workers want these days? Apart from the natural resources, they're looking, as I understand it, from other guests we've talked to, for quality of life in a town, in a city, a small city. They want a lot of the things that they could get and leave to get in a larger city, Chicago, New York, the West Coast.
Well, and it's interesting, when we were serving people out of state, commute time is a big deal. And I don't think we just sort of take it for granted that you can get, you know, almost anywhere around any city in 10 minutes. And, you know, people are still stuck in their parking lot for that amount of time. It's another thing that we have going for us. We've got cities that are beginning to have industrial bases and jobs grow up around condos and things like that. So they don't have to own a car. They can walk or bike to work. And I think people are starting to understand some of that. We had some people from the group Milwaukee down out of Milwaukee talking about, you know, what do millennials want, and that idea of flexibility. We may need to be offering different things to those types of folks. But we've got something in those natural resources that other people can't just create. And so I think we've got a positive there that we've got to start to build on.
Apart from all that, the quality of life things, people looking at jobs are looking at things like salary. How much are they going to make? Salary and compensation. Is Wisconsin as a whole competitive in those areas? Can we be? What would need to change to make us more so?
Well, one of the things that we actually had in our benchmarks was personal income, and Wisconsin ranks 21st of the 50 states, so we're a little bit above average. But we've also got a little bit of a reputation for being a below average cost of living state. So, you know, my $60,000 in Green Bay goes a lot farther than my $60,000 in Los Angeles, California. And that's another thing that I don't think we've done a very good job of selling, especially to millennials who might just be looking at that number and not looking at the costs that are associated with it. So we're competitive in the salary world, and I think where we end up coming out ahead is if you take the salary and you take the cost of living, Wisconsin ends up being a pretty good place to live.
So when you think of getting back to the brand idea, Wisconsin, if you're thinking of positives, a lot of times people think of the beer, the cheese, the Packers, maybe the, you know, recreation, things like that. But maybe beer and cheese isn't doing the trick anymore. What kind of things would we focus on in terms of the branding?
Well, with the information that the Economic Development Corporation put out there, we've got some things around work ethic and originality and sense of community, which was interesting because, you know, a lot of times when you live in Wisconsin, you think, yeah, well, that's just us and nobody else appreciates that. That was another one that came up with people in other states saying when they think of what Wisconsin is good or what they like about it, it is some of those things. It, you know, you can trust your neighbor. It's a safe place to be. There is a work ethic if you hire someone that they're going to get the job done. You know, a handshake is still good, and that might sound a little bit corny, but when people do business in different places or people have been employed or lived in different places, there is something about the upper Midwest and Wisconsin specifically that it is a little bit different. And people, like I said, if we can get them here, they end up liking it.
Jim, sometimes you bring a bunch of people together at a summit like this and people come out thinking, okay, we just talked for a few hours. Hope that all works out. Sometimes people come out pumped. They're optimistic. They're encouraged by what they're hearing. How do you read the crowd as they left today?
I think that they're excited. I think, you know, when you see up there on the stage at the same time, the Department of Workforce Development, Public Instruction, Economic Development, private colleges, technical colleges, universities, the business community, all on the same stage saying, look, you know, we may not agree on everything, but at least we're mapping out a direction together to try to get somewhere. Again, I think that there's something about that in Wisconsin. I say, okay, look, if everybody's, you know, as long as we're working hard, we're trying to get to the same place, we can have our differences, but we will get there. And I think communities now are taking up that same thing so that their city is saying, okay, how does the school district and the tech college and the university and the business community work together in Fond du Lac and Eau Claire and Wausau? And there's some pretty neat things that are starting to happen as they keep, you know, recreating this. Because we will solve it locally. I mean, it'll be those people getting together and saying, okay, you know, we got to change some things here to make this place more attractive. And I think our goal is to say we're going to try to make the state as attractive as we can. And then once we get them here and get people interested, then Madison and Milwaukee and Green Bay and Eau Claire can all fight over them. But the first thing is to make sure that people know what a great state this is.
Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
That's Jim Morgan, president of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Foundation. The group held the Future Wisconsin Economic Summit today in Madison.